Would you pray with me? Once again, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Over the weekend, I was re-watching a video that has come to mean a great deal to me. Some of you have seen it. Some of you that were elders back in along about 2014, 15, 16, I know saw it. And I think we actually showed this at a town hall meeting when we were going through our denominational discussions. But it's John Ortberg's introductory speech at the very first planning session when ECO, our denomination, was becoming a reality. It was the kickoff for the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians. And so John Ortberg, who was pastor at the time of Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, probably the flagship church in the very young ECO movement, this was 2012, by the way, John Ortberg gave this speech, as it were, sermon, about this new denomination. And he was honest. He spoke with integrity. He said this wasn't going to be easy. In 2012, there were 7 churches, you see, that were gathered here for this. And it has expanded to more than 400 today. But Ortberg looked into the future and he said, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be messy, he said. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be complicated. It's going to be risky. It's going to be hard. He said all these things. I watched in this video again and he touched me as he did that. And it was absolutely true. And he ended that litany by asking this question, why bother? Why bother? Now, that was not a rhetorical question. That was a real question in the face of this catalog of difficulties that he had just put out for them. And the honesty of his question struck me as really hard. Why bother? And the question has haunted me since 2012 when he first asked it, why bother? Why bother? It's a good question. And as I consider the effort it takes to keep our church going, I ask myself again and again, why bother? Why bother? Just in my time alone here, which approaches 11 years in a couple of weeks, we've withstood our own divisive behaviors, which work to tear the fabric of our fellowship in a contentious dispute over a previous pastor. We've risked our all to establish a family ministry, only to see our dreams crumble in the face of a disappearing young population from Fountain Hills. We spent 2 years earnestly and honestly questioning our beliefs and our priorities and ultimately coming together to make the painful decision to move to ECO, a new denomination. 2 years. 2 years. Those of you that were here, I'm sure, remember it as keenly as I do. We've endured through a budget deficit and the resultant conflict arising from the painful decision to terminate a minister and a ministry, both of whom we loved deeply. And most recently, we found ourselves forced to confront the values that we said we embraced when we moved to this denomination and what they mean in the real context of life together here at FHPC. We've gone through all of that. And I must tell you this. I hear from time to time, in the midst of my own despair over some of these things, in the privacy of my office, I hear the voice of the evil one whispering in my ear. I really do. Was it really worth it? Was it really worth it? Is the church worth it? Is this church worth it? And finally, I hear him in those deep, resonant tones of James Earl Jones. Why bother? Why bother? And just then, when I feel a certain amount of fatigue, a certain amount of despair kind of settling in, as that question folds around me in that awful voice of his. And just then it is that I hear those better voices. Just then it is that I see those remembered and beloved faces. And just then it is that I smile at the sound of their laughter once again. It's that great cloud of witnesses that went before us. That great cloud of witnesses that is around us now. Do you realize that the membrane between here and heaven is just so thin that they're just right there? That's what the author of Hebrews was saying. All around us, all the time. It's that great cloud of witnesses who welcomed each and every one of us and embraced us into this fellowship. It's that great cloud of witness left us this legacy that is indeed this church. Not just this physical plant, beautiful as it is, but the ministries, and more importantly, the fellowship, and more importantly, the faith. All of that was their legacy to us. And when I hear them and when I see them, they speak to me as one. And to the question, why bother, they say, it was never too much bother. And yes, yes, it was worth it. Because you're still here. The congregation's still here. Faith is still here. Christ is still here. And still, though, the question remains. And I raise it to all of you in all sincerity this morning. Because now it's your turn. It's your turn to answer. It really is. You see, those pledge cards that Arlene was talking about, they're on the way. Most of you probably received them already. If not, I'll be happy to hand you one right after the service, by the way. Why bother? Why bother? Why sacrifice your money and your time and your talents and your other gifts to this church? Why bother? Well, here's a reason. Historically, the church has been a significant force for good in American society. Now we're talking about the grander church of which we're a part. You see, it was the church who created 106 of the first 108 colleges in the United States of America. It was the church that brought into being most of the hospitals in our large urban cities. It was the church who established inner city missions, orphanages, homes for unwed mothers, places for the most vulnerable. You see, society didn't provide for that in that day and age, and so the church stepped into the vacuum and said, someone needs to care for the least and the lost. It was a church that visited and conducted worship services in prisons. It was the church that established counseling ministries, food pantries, substance abuse programs, after-school care, emergency relief services. All of that came from the church. See, we lose sight of that. In our day and age, we keep looking at big government and say, here, that's what we need, give us that. But this was well before that. No one was asking government that question. They were asking the church that question because they knew Jesus lived there. And they knew that Jesus had charged the church to do these things. And the church stepped boldly into that and created a vital part of American history. In natural disasters, the church has always been the first to arrive and the last to leave. And they've always brought the most practical of help. I went down to New Orleans in 2010. Several years after Katrina, FEMA was gone. Most everybody else was gone. But we were there. We had a youth group with about 60 kids. And we worked in those houses. And one night, we were having dinner in this church that we were staying in. And this lady came up to me and, with tears in her eyes, and said, I just want to thank you. She said, you're the pastor, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, I really want to thank you. You see, everybody else has left. And there's still so much to be done. And we thank God for the church because the church is the only people that are coming now. It's the church first and last. That's our legacy. But that was then, and this is now. Times are different. Nationally, our freedoms are now undergirded by the social safety net. There's unemployment compensation. There's Social Security monies. There's Medicare. There's the affordable health care. Right? All that's there. Locally here in Fountain Hills, we're well and wonderfully served by a myriad of organizations, notable for civic pride, social awareness, and interpersonal compassion. So on top of all of that other question about why bother, there's this one. Is the church really necessary? Is somebody else doing all that stuff now? Well, you're here this morning. You must have found some reason worth getting out of bed for. But is it worth sacrificing your tithes and your offerings? Is it worth pinching your belt a little in other areas to contribute to the church, that the church might reach out into the world? Why bother? Well, here's the answer. You knew I'd have one, right? Here's the answer. Because there are events in a human life that are beyond the best efforts, as good as they are, of the Rotary, of Kiwanis, of the community center, of the cultural and civic association, and of the ambassadors. There are problems that are outside their scope, outside their realm of ability. And it matters because the church has something here that doesn't just seek to bind up the wounds, doesn't just seek to triage those that have been beaten and battered by the world. You see, what we've got is we've got someone who promises not to bandage the world, but to transform the world. Why bother? Why bother? Because Christ has done great things for us. Listen to that scripture again. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Christ has done that. Why bother? Because Christ expects us to return the favor, quite frankly. Listen again. Provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Why bother? Why bother? Because only the church can offer the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. That's why bother. He lives here. He works here. As Paul said, he's the head of the body, the church, and in him all things are held together. Only in the church of Jesus Christ can we find hope sufficient to hold together a broken world. Only by immersing ourselves in the body of Christ can we recover what's most deeply missing within each of us. So why bother? Because people around us are lost. And our Lord won't stand by and let us stand for that. Why bother? Because the days are evil and the church has been constituted by Jesus Christ to redeem them. Why bother? Because every day counts, so we must be wise in how and where we invest our love. Why bother? Because if the church doesn't bother, who will? Who will save the world if it's not the church? Why bother? Because they bothered. Because they bothered. That great cloud of witnesses. Think about them, those of you that have been here for a while. Wyman and Bates. The list is long. It goes on and on. I could be up here for 10 minutes giving you names that would touch your heart. Why bother? Because they bothered. And because they continue to call us from beyond the grave to keep on bothering, to maintain their legacy, to keep the fires of faith burning on this hilltop. That's what they want from us because that's what they gave us. Because all of them have entrusted all of us to bring hope to Fountain Hills as they once did and as they still do through the offices of this church. We look around here and we see that they gave so much. So much. So let's see that we don't let them down. Go through that list in your head. Picture those faces. As I said, the list is long. Wonderful people. Let's embrace what that great cloud of witnesses that went before us here, let's embrace what they created here by giving our best to continue the work that they began. This means offering our time, our talent, and yes, indeed, our treasure. We talked about that last year at this time. It was a different picture last year. COVID was all around us. Things were really tight. We wondered if we could make our budget work. And we were honest with you. Our finance elder got up, shared the story. I got up, preached encouragement. And you got up and responded with love and passion and brilliance. And all of a sudden, what looked like an unhopeful year turned into something fabulous. Another opportunity for Jesus Christ to minister from this church because of what you did. We thought we'd be shutting ministries down. We opened them up because of what you did. Now, I don't want to talk too much about this today because actually this sermon is going to continue next week. You have that to look forward to. But this week, I've pretty much talked about the church at large. Next week, I want to talk about this church. I want to bring the focus right here and home and do that. Why bother? Simple. Because the world needs the church. Why bother? Because our town needs this church. Because we have a legacy to honor. That's why bother. But also because we have a legacy to create. So may God bless us as we do so. May God bless you as you pray over your pledge. I ask that you open your heart as you open your hands. And I ask that you help all of us continue the work of all of them here in this place.